Father, we come to you this afternoon, and you know, want to lift you up and praise you for your greatness and for your guidance, Father. And thank you, you know, for the situations that you put us in that cause us to have to rely on you more, that cause us to have to look to you for advice and follow your guidance, Father. The situations that cause us to rely on our friends to help us through. God, I think all those moments and all those times serving in the ministry, and it'd be easy to say, man, I wish I wasn't going through this right now, but there was so many lessons learned. You know, as we get ready to talk about this next session how being in ministry and how the parent's role fits into teen ministry can be so great, but there can also be some challenges that come along with it. So, Father, as we speak and as we open up and as we share, Father, pray that you just give us your words. Help us to be wise, Father, and help us also just to be real and enjoy the conversation. We love you. We praise your son's name. Amen. Okay, so last session that we're going to talk with you guys about is going to be working with parents. You know, in the student ministry, so when you think of the teen ministry and the student ministries that that we have, you know, you would think that you would almost assume that, I guess, well, that excludes having to deal with anybody else aside from teens, right, and the youth. But that's completely the opposite. There's been countless times throughout the years where we've had to work with parents equally as much as working with the teenager involved. And that has been such a big blessing in the ministry, but it's also been, we've also had some learning curves with it, and it's brought its challenges as well. So first and foremost, you know, there's no doubt we're reliant on the words and the commands of God in how we approach these situations. We dream and we deal with the parents, and we work with the parents, and we work with the teens together. And there's different types, right? Just like we talked about in the second lesson, how do you disciple unchurched teens, and how do you disciple church teens? The same aspect applies whenever it deals with their parents. How do I navigate my ministry with a parent that doesn't quite understand it because they're unchurched as well? And then also, how do I navigate within the ministry with parents that are churched, you know, in a way that is beneficial in growing of the kingdom? So let's kind of talk through some of that right now.
Well, I think, you know, when it comes to disciple, when it comes to youth ministry, it's always sad to me, and this doesn't happen like often, but it's happened over our years of ministry for sure, where you have a kid in your group and you really care about that kid. You know, like we've talked about all day today, you're invested, you love, you know, you love them and all the things, but man, you do not want to deal with the parent. You do not want that parent, ain't nothing like dealing with the kid, you know? And it's sad. It's always, honestly, it's like a grieving thing for me whenever a kid graduates and the whole time I'm like, I'm really sad about the kid, but I'm so glad I don't have to work with that parent anymore. Like, that's sad. But it's also something on the flip side for you leaders that you don't want that to be the case with you from the parents' perspective, where they're going, man, like I high school wasn't that bad with my kid or whatever, but I'm just really glad they're done with, you know, youth ministry so we don't deal with that later anymore. You know, like that's not what we want, right? Like none of us want that. Everyone in those positions knows how miserable that can be. So that's just something that we, you know, thought we have to hit on this, and there's no way we're going to pack it in. You know, I was talking to Melanie, and I was like, this is a whole track, you know, like a whole four-session track. So there's no way we're going to pack this all in realistically, but we're going to do our best just to give you just some of those, you know, key things. So like some of the different things, you know, so our, sorry, she's really cute, and she's mocking the laughing, and I can't. So there's, you know, disciple parents roles, okay? So we work with, like RJ said, churched and unchurched. There's the disciple parents role. So let's just chat about that just real briefly. What is a disciple parents role? Well, they're to be an aid to their spiritual growth in their unit. You know, the way that God intended the families, before the brokenness, before the fall, before all the things, you know, when God looked at families, he wanted that dynamic to be one where fathers, especially, honestly, fathers and mothers as well, were the ones that were training and bringing up their kids in the ways of the ways of the word. If you read any amount of Deuteronomy, you're going to find that out very, very fast. The role and the responsibility, really the core of where that foundation lies at, the best place it can happen at, you know, is in the homes. And we have worked with many parents, honestly, who have got a home run on that. You know, where like not when they wouldn't say that, you know, because we're going to get to that. It's never perfect. It's always, you know, messy. But where they, you know, they were that person, right, within their home, that was taught, that was implemented, you know, and all those things. But unfortunately, you know, I brought this up a couple of times today, but even in church homes, sometimes in church homes, we don't see radical discipleship being pushed and Christ being modeled within the church homes. So we have these church kids, you know, coming to youth ministry, right? Some of you guys who, you know, and we know they've grown up in church. We know that they're there, their parents are there on Sunday. We know these things, but their kids are producing no fruit. And I'm talking like fruits of the Spirit by their attitudes. And I'm talking about fruits, of, you know, the fruit of bearing other disciples. And they don't really understand a vision and a goal for the kingdom. It's not a part of them, of their core. And sometimes, I, to be fair, I do want to plug this in. And sometimes everyone has free will, right? So could the parents be doing those things, but the kid is hard-hearted to it and doesn't want that? Sure. You know, I gave you guys my testimony at the beginning of the first track. I had parents who were doing the things. They weren't perfect, but they were doing the things. And there was a period of time where I was like, nope, I don't care. I don't care what you say. I'm going to be mean and I'm going to be hateful. I'm going to close, you know, my life and my heart off to everybody. And so there are those times, but I do believe that it is more often than not that when kids are not coming into the ministry prepared and equipped for that, it's often because they're not getting trained within their home. And so that is something that, you know, that we come into. So in Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." The Apostle Paul here is giving instructions to children within the Christian community. So Paul's instructing children to obey their parents, emphasizing that their obedience, that parent's obedience, is to the Lord. And it gets a little murky, it gets a little tricky, right, when we start to get into unchurched, right? So this can be complicated on a parenting level and a discipling level, wherever we're going. Okay, on one end, I'm teaching, my job as a youth leader is to teach like honor and obedience, right, to parents that are giving like, you know, biblical principles. But also throughout the Bible, we're going to move into the unchurched, you know, part of this is where there's still a level of honor and obedience that has to be, you know, taught to the kids, even in not ideal situations. Now, granted, nothing that goes opposing to what God would say do you want to teach them or tell them to, you know, to act on. But it is very, this is one of the hardest topics, honestly, when it comes to youth ministry and how to kind of handle all these things. So as far as that goes, you're on the
other. Am I up?
Yeah, you are.
So,
I was trying to like draw it out, but you just were like.
There was a little more there. So, you know, as Ashley talks about the, you know, dealing with the church parents, that you've got the other side of it where it's the unchurched parents, and what's your role there? And I would say that your role is equally as important and valuable in that situation, because you come from a stance in a position where this is now an opportunity for you to also reach out to and share some good aspects of a walk with God with that parent that might not have any kind of understanding or commitment to Christ. So you have their child who's in your youth ministry that has made the commitment to Christ, but then that child and kid has a parent that is engaging in the youth ministry and communicating with us and this, that, and the other, but they don't have some of the understandings, principles, or even commitments that their child would have. So how do you navigate all that? And what Ashley said was, you know, we never want to teach a kid to disrespect their parents. You're to honor your parents. That's a command from the Lord. So how do you do that in a way that honors God, holds to the commitments that you have with Christ as a kid, as a kid to the parents, without also breaking any of the commandments that God would want you to follow if your parents were to encourage you to do something maybe outside of the Word? So It's that line where you have to have that understanding, and there has to be just, you know, some good conversations back and forth on how do you deal with that.
I think too, within the midst of that, it's not always those two very clear situations. You know, church all your life, unchurched. Then you have like the hybrids, right? They were like unchurched, but then their parents came around, they became disciples a little bit like later in life, you know, and then the kids are like, wait, for 10 years we've been doing this, And now we're, you know, for 15 years we've been doing this and you're saying I can't, or we're not doing this, you know, and then you have a different type of, you know, approach that you have to take to some of those things where it requires a different type of understanding with the parent, you know, who's also rewriting their life and trying to implement these things, but it's a totally new learning curve, you know, for everybody involved. And it requires a lot, you know, we'll get into what that looks like in different levels. I think that kind of deals encompasses all of those things.
Each scenario is going to be different, but if your goal is to honor God and for you to follow his words, then you can get there. You can get there. But if you go askew and you start to go in different directions and you just base the decisions that you make off of what you think or your feelings or what might be easier, sometimes you just end up in more of a mess than not. So when you deal with parents, when you're working with parents in the ministry, the first thing that you got to make sure that you do is communicate. Communication is extremely important with parents for the most part. And it is sad to say, Ashley is saying, you know, over the years in all the teens that have been involved in the ministry, we've got, you know, kids whose parents don't have anything to do with the ministry. They don't ask about where they're at. They don't care where they're at. It doesn't matter where you take them. And then sometimes you have parents who very much are engaged and want to know what's going on. The bottom line is, you as the leader, you need to make sure that you're striving to communicate what's going on and what your plans are. So, you know, I think that shows up in lots of ways. So Ashley and I, we've always tried to meet parents face-to-face, right? Or talk with them on the phone. Or let them know who we are. Just a face with the name is important. Letting them know, like, what the plans are. Like, if we have an event, if we have when we have cross chats, when we have hangouts, when we have camps coming up, communicating those things, and then also communicating when the changes occur. You guys know, you know, all too well that just changes happen, and sometimes they happen in far enough time that you can give out, you know, notice, and sometimes they happen right away. You know, the point is that you're striving, you're doing your best to communicate. So don't simply just rely on the kids to communicate that either. You, as the leader, you want to make sure that you're having a relationship with that parent as well. Don't rely on the kids to communicate, because, you know, the kids just sometimes don't communicate. That information doesn't get passed along. So you have to take ownership of that relationship. So you always want to make sure that you're bridging that gap to communicate with the parents.
I think second, we got to encourage authenticity in the home. Literally, this came up in every single track. And I just want to say, when I use the word authenticity, that's what that means. I'm not saying perfection, but it means that you are within that home that people are living real authentic lives. And this is directed more towards like church homes. You know, whenever you are working with people who are not disciples, home, you know, that's a different look, right? I can't go into someone's home, you know, as a parent and be like, well, you're not doing A, B, and C, and you should be reading with your kid. They're going to be like, and? Like, what? You know, there's nothing there that's going to apply to them. But when we're dealing with more of that church kid approach, or people whose families are also disciples, we need to be able to talk to our parents, who are also our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, because we're all part of one kingdom, and be able to encourage authenticity within our homes. It is really easy to fight a losing battle as a youth leader on this front. It's very hard when a kid comes to me and they're saying, this is, you know, this is what's going on, and I say, okay, well, this is what God's word would say. Here's how you should respond. This are the things that you need to do. This is where you need to plug yourself in, or your time, or your thought process, or your whatever. But they go back home, and I've given them all the different things that are actually biblically accurate. But they go back home to a disciple home, and they're watching parents who are showing them a watered-down version of discipleship. Because teenagers, and like I said earlier, you guys, in another track, like, I love you, but if there's an out, you're going to find it. You know, they're going to look for it, especially when things aren't going their way and they want to do something different. You know, and parents, especially church parents, sometimes we make it all too easy. We make it all too easy for them to look to our example and be like, there's my out. You said that the Bible says I should be doing this and this. Well, my parents are pretty good people, and they're disciples, and they don't have to go to everything. They don't go to everything. They don't do this. They don't do that. And they're fine. And then they get this watered-down version of discipleship and an excuse to lessen the way that they play out their faith. in their relationship with God. And that's something that we really have to look at and be able to go and approach parents with. And this is a hard conversation. Just be like, hey, what's going on with that? But also for the bad stuff that you can look at, they also reciprocate the good stuff. You know, like, and I know this because we bring in any, earlier we had different people up here for the other tracks, and we're talking about like what drew them into the youth ministry and different things like that. And one of the main things that was brought up was like, I didn't have a dad. I didn't have someone to look to and mimic. I didn't have a good example. So when I found that, what'd they do? I latched onto it. I wanted that so much that I did, so that tells you something, because we're talking about teenagers still. They have something that God has put inside of them that makes them desire a father. Why do you think he did that? Because he wants them to look at him that way as well, right? And so there is that piece and that part that I think that we have to realize that's there too. So for all like the bad examples that the home can set, man, they can set really good, solid examples. And the kids, even if they don't like it in the moment, they're going to mimic those things and they're going to settle into their heart. And over years, as they mature, and this is what the prayer is, right? Should they choose, that stuff's going to be so deeply ingrained in them, you know, because the generations before them also did those things.
So in working with parents in the teen ministry, the first thing is that we got to make sure that we're communicating with them. Second thing, what Ashley just talked about, was encouraging authenticity in the home. And the third thing that we think is valuable in working with parents in the youth ministry is you have to have accountability both ways. We need to make sure that we're speaking the truth in love to one another. So there's been so many conversations that we've had to have with parents that were really difficult. But if you come to that situation where you're communicating with the parents and you come to them with love and just some of that direction, and sometimes even communicating the difficult things. But if you do that in love, you have a lot better chance of being able to succeed in that. But it has to be, and it has to go both ways, right? So raising teens, you know, like we've talked with you guys about, man, it's super hard. It's super difficult. It can be very messy. And the parents, sometimes they'll say, well, actually, my kid is doing this, and you hear this other side of the story, and it's like you're an arbitrator trying to figure out
my kid to throw me under the bus before, and that is not what happens. Like, so I do get wanting to say.
Well, perception is always on one side of the fence, right? Most of the time, unless you dig into it, hearing both sides of the story, and then you get to hear the contrast of it. So, that's where I'm saying that working with parents means that you have to be able to listen to the kid, you have to be able to listen to the parent, find out the truth, and communicate that, right? It's a process, and it's a process of patience, but accountability is super, super important.
I think accountability, too, is not just like when everything goes wrong and you got to tell them something or direct them, but just holding them accountable to like get resources and help for being a parent in general. You know, whether that's trying to connect them to the church. There's been often that we've had unchurched kids in our groups, and I get to have those conversations with parents, and it gives me the opportunity to be like, you are struggling with that. Like, what about divorce care? What about this? And I start, to try, you can use those as plugs to bring them also into relationship with God. But I also think, just reminding our Christian parents, yeah, it's like a lost art of parents to go to other parents who have successfully raised disciples, like, and ask for help. I don't know why. I guess I do. I think there's just like a pride or maybe a shame sometimes, that hinders us from going and speaking to people that can help us. It's kind of like, I'll go talk to all the other parents who failed at this really bad because they get me. I don't mind that. I get going, man, this is hard. This is tough. Like, you understand, and to have that compassion and that friend. But at the same time, you've got to have like other sides of that, where we should be encouraging parents also to go like, hey, like, I am struggling in this season or at this time. And that person, like, they get it. They understand, but they didn't really have a good solution as to how to like work through it or fix it or maybe try to be different. So you should be finding other people who maybe have done those things differently or have different strengths and going to them and saying, hey, what did you do? you know, because your kids do seem to do well in this. So give me some practical steps. So accountability looks like also just encouraging some of those things. Another thing is we have to cultivate friendship in just being familiar with one another. Are you talking to me?
Mm-mm.
Okay, sorry. It's unrealistic to think that you're going to be best friends, right, with like every parent in youth ministry, especially as the youth ministry gets bigger, the more you that you grow, it can be hard sometimes to keep just like that connection on that friendship level, right? But do your best to be familiar with the parents and holding a friendship and a relationship with them. And why is that important? I mean, like, it's friendship, right? So when you get to know people, when you become friends, you get to know the family, right? You get to know their situations, which in turn is going to help you disciple the kid better. You know, because you get to sit back and be like, okay, so they're not just being a butthead today, you know, because they just feel like it. In fact, I was talking to mom and he's having a hard time and he's feeling abandoned by his dad and he's struggling and he's taking it out on everybody. And this is where he's at currently. And you know what I'm saying? You get some insight because you have that familiar friendship and that bond with that parent. Right? It's very hard to help people who limit your access to them in a way that doesn't allow you to really fully see and help hold them accountable as we talk to, but just to be able to share in their life and to love their kid in a way that can help them and guide them and direct them. And so do your best to cultivate a friendship, you know, knowing the situation, their past, their good, their bad, the ugly, you know, it's what's going to help you lead the teens most effectively, because friendship brings trust. True, authentic friendship brings trust, which in turn brings the other things we're kind of talking about, that accountability. It brings that awareness, and it helps for everything else to naturally fall in line. But a friendship also provides grace, right? I think I said this in the last lesson, you know, maybe over a different topic, but I'll say it again. I mean, Jesus was really redundant in the Bible. He said a lot of the same things over and over again, so I feel like I got to pass on that. But I do feel like when you know someone's heart, you are able to give them a place of grace whenever things don't look great. You know, whenever you go, man, maybe you could have handled that different with that, you know, with your kid. Or maybe you shouldn't approach me like that as the parent. Or maybe I shouldn't approach you like that as the parent. We're able to go like, okay, before I all get offended and bothered, man, I know that person. I know they love my kid. I know they love my family. And so therefore, before I go ahead of myself, I'm going to look at all the friendship, all the relationship, all the good that's been done over all the years, and I'm going to sit back and I'm going to take a minute and I'm going to go into this with good graces, because we have that kind of relationship and that kind of friendship. And so I think that, you know, where it talks about, the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. This applies when it comes to parenting and teen leadership and teens in general.
And lastly, guys, what we think, you know, in discipling, you know, teens and working with parents in the ministry, is you must give opportunities. You know, what do we mean by that? You know, you must give opportunities. And I think what we're trying to say is that for the most part, most parents, especially the parents who are disciple parents, they want, for the most part, they want to be involved with what their kids are doing. You know, I think sometimes, and we, you know, Ashley and I, as our kids have gotten older, you know, you feel, you know, less and less of a, you know, time spent with them in a sense. And I'm not saying that the relationship isn't there or things aren't good or, you know, in that regard, but sometimes parents can feel the separation starting to occur as their kids get older. And not a separation of in a bad way, but a natural thing that's going on. So what we've tried to do more over the years is pose opportunities to parents to say, hey, why don't you try to organize things at your home with your teen to be able to be a part of that group? You know, whether that be, you know, have some of the teens over, some of their friends over for dinners, have them over for hangouts or, you know, staying the night. Or why don't you maybe make sure that you're engaging in the snacks and the activities at events or cross chats or serve at special events. I always think of Thanksgiving cross chat. And there's so much to do at Thanksgiving cross chat. There's so much food around like there. And I know, like, you know, just in prior situations who the parents are that are going to be like, hey, make sure that you got a spot for me. And then there's going to be sometimes, you know, the parents are going to be like, well, I'll just, you know, maybe drop something off. And then you got the parents that don't bring anything. And as a parent, and as a youth leader in the, you know, working with parents, I think giving those opportunities poses a chance for the parents to engage rather than for the parents to feel like they're just on the outside of the situation. Now, I could talk a lot to parents if they were here about, you know, it is their responsibility to make sure that they're raising up their kids, you know, in the faith, in a youth leader, in the student ministries, in the teen ministry is a great aid and a great partner to be able to disciple their kids along with them. But the real discipler is you as the parent. We could have that conversation, but that's not necessarily what we're talking about right now. But as serving in the youth ministry, I think what we've tried to do over the years is figure out ways for parents to also engage. Engage in the activities by giving them opportunities.
You know, and I think just kind of concluding it, you know, we may do all the above, right? Like all the things. The parents may do all the things and do it to the best of our ability as far as we're humanly, you know, capable of doing things. And that kid, that teen still may choose to not want a relationship with God. And I think of like how it must have felt to be Jesus and to be around Judas, to have handpicked him and to know everything, to know that hey, I'm going to pull him into my circle and I'm going to love him. Because God is love and Jesus is God. So to think that he didn't love Judas would be absurd. He loved him deeply and more than we could even understand. And so I'm going to pull him into my immediate circle and I'm going to love, love, love him. I'm going to spend all this time with him. I'm going to do all these things. And I'm going to know that at the end I'm going to get betrayed with a kiss. And to stand there and be like, for me to go that I can't control that even God won't control that no matter how much he loves a kid. And the majority of parents we work with, and if you are a parent, you know, and when you become one, you're going to see that love is as deep as it can run. And so when that happens, and it does happen, because we live in a broken world and Satan is really, really good at what he does in spite of the good that we or the parents do sometimes. And so the kid chooses to do as they want. And even I think that's why it's even more important that if that is the case, the relationship between God and the relationship between the parent and the leaders stands firm and stands strong. Because what you want is one day for when, you know, that kid, you know, or whatever, hopefully, to, you know, be more of the prodigal than the Judas, right? Who turns around and looks back and is like, man, like they weren't perfect, but I had it good. And for them to look back and be able to see still a youth leader and a disciple parent still functioning and having a good, healthy, functional life and relationship, that's just more to call them back to. You know, and so it is very, very hard. And I think when those things happen, you got to remember too, like, we got to give each other grace in that. Because even those moments, it's very easy to look at the parent and be like, well, was something missing at home? Maybe. Was something missing in my leadership? Probably. You know? But did that kid still have an abundance of opportunity? More than most kids ever dreamed of? Yes. That's what should have came out of their time and the result of your time with them in a youth ministry. So that being said, we're gonna bring up some of a couple of our parents here, a couple of our mamas.
Who we've had, you know.
You guys can chill here.
Who we've had in the ministry.
I'll let them use this.
Okay.
And you can ask them.
Who we've had in the ministry and have had their kids, you know, come through the ministry or be even being in the ministry, you know, now or just in the immediate future. So this is Michelle and Melanie. For those of you guys, you know, who know both of them, they are great women that I think what you'll hear them say, you know, not perfect, but man, do they try. And do they have a heart that deeply loves their kids. We thought it would be great for you guys to maybe just share some of your thoughts and your experiences having kids in the youth ministry and parenting them and what that looks like. So first question that we want to ask you guys is, what is it like parenting teens? I know that that's, can just be, open forum here, but just if you could kind of share maybe just
when I wrote it too.
if you could share some of your thoughts and your opinions and maybe experiences on what it's like parenting teens, what would you maybe say?
It's like herding cats.
No, she was trying to get rid of it.
Oh, you're trying to get rid of it? No, you got one as well.
No, I would say that as someone who struggles with kidney issues, it's like passing a kidney stone. It's going to pass, but it's going to be really painful in the process. And then that comes that morphine time where it's real good, when it comes back. But it's a bunch of highs and lows. And fortunately, I'm in a stage where there's a lot more highs right now than lows. Don't let me down.
Okay, we'll appreciate it. So, yeah, thank you for that. Okay, so tell us a little bit about yourselves, maybe your background, your family dynamic and its background, leading to the point that you had kids in the youth ministry. So tell us a little bit about your guys' background, family background. And
So it's been 7 years now, I think 8 years now that we've been here. So it's not a secret to anyone at this church, but my husband and I, he's not here, he's working. We were in the process of getting a divorce. We had not even told our kids that, so surprise. No, he really, he does know. But we were getting divorced, and we were still living together, trying to navigate what this would look like. And at that point, we kind of just didn't know, or at least I didn't know, what was going to be a safe place for the kids. Like, where were they going to get what they needed, knowing as someone who grew up in church, my husband grew up in church, this was going to really changed what that looked like at that church. We knew one of us was not going to be able to stay, and it was probably not going to be me. And so at that point, we just tried to figure out, what do I do? Where do I go from here? And so ironically, or maybe not, maybe it's just the Holy Spirit, I actually read a post that Ashley had posted on Facebook, and it was a post about family vacation. She had posted a whole bunch of pictures. I've known Ashley, actually I've known Rita when she was pregnant with Ashley, so I've known her for a very long time. And so following her on Facebook, seeing all these things, and she made this post on Facebook about how there were these kids that were broken, and they were able to find the things that they needed in the midst of what that brokenness looked like. So I sent her a message, and I was like, hey, what would you think? Do you think my kids would fit in? Because if you're not here, you don't really know what that looks like. And so I sent that message, and of course, that was like, mouse meets trap, and she's like, I'll see you on Sunday. And when I pulled into the parking lot, there was a welcoming committee. I'm not even kidding. It was Hannah and Ashley and Rita and Janice and all these people that I've known a long time ago that were waiting outside. We walked in, they grabbed us, they grabbed the kids, and grabbed me because my husband was not there with me. Grabbed the kids, took them off to different places, and I didn't see them until the end of service. And when we left church, they were like, oh, well, you're coming to dinner or lunch, because that's obviously the second part of the crowd there, and in a good way. And we went to lunch, and when we were leaving lunch, all three kids were like, we have to come back here. Like, this is what we want to do. So it, from there, it just kind of snowballed into us sitting in this class today. Well, unchurched completely, grew up Catholic, but my kids did not experience church outside of their babysitter taking them to like a Wednesday night situation, and inviting me and me saying, no, they can go, but I'm not going to go. I made some pretty poor choices as a mom, just bad relationships, a lot of abuse, alcohol, drug use, all the things. And my kids experienced a lot of things that they shouldn't have at a very young age. And a customer of mine came into my office one day and said, hey, I go to this church, you might like it. And I thought, know, we'll give it a whirl. We'll try it. And my boyfriend at the time was like, yeah, I want to find a church. So we came, and similar experience. It wasn't like I didn't know anybody, so nobody was like waiting in the parking lot for me, but I'm sorry. Brad actually drug me into the church by my hair because I was like, I don't want to go in there. But when I came in, I met people at the door who then took my kids to, you know, the places they needed to be. They took Kate and, you know, introduced her to other kids in junior high, and they took Cole to the kids' class and Riley, and then I met Summer, and I don't know, everything kind of changed from there. To be clear, I didn't want to be Summer's friend right away. She wanted to be my friend. I was not sure. I thought I had enough friends, but very thankful that Summer loved me through that. So
thank you. Sorry. All right. So, what was one of the hardest parts of parenting, and are you glad you didn't have to go through that alone, or what did that kind of look like? Yeah. Another fun question.
You want to do that one first?
You can just, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Hang on to it.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of really hard parts of parenting teens specifically. But I think about the times where I had to look in the mirror and realize I was the problem. And I remember a situation in which, sorry, I'm going to call you out. This is my daughter, by the way. I think about, she's a kid that can't lie very well. She tells on herself. And I think about this time at Jenna's house where Jenna and Hannah called me over and they said, you know, Kate needs to talk to you about something. She needs to be honest with you about something. And we had this really great conversation. It was the first time that, you know, she was able to come to me and admit something and tell me something that she had done where I didn't lose my mind on her and like cause a Jerry Springer episode in my front yard. So I think about that and I remember the reason why that happened is because of God, number one, but also because I had the support specifically of Jenna, as, you know, Kate's youth leader, but also my friend. And I don't know, like those are the things that are so hard in parenting when you have to go, it's me. I'm the reason why my kids can't tell me things because I'm explosive or I'm angry or any of those things. And had I not had Jenna and that relationship that I built with her, I don't know that that could have happened. So, yeah.
Okay, so I'm also a sympathetic crier. So when I should have gone first, when someone starts, it's just going to happen. It's just naturally going to happen. I think for me, the hardest thing is probably the realization, kind of piggybacking off of what Michelle said, is that I was naive to the fact that even though we had gone to church, we were the church people who didn't miss a Sunday morning, a Sunday night, or a Wednesday night. I was so naive to the fact, funny story, probably not so funny, but maybe just to me. When I was studying with Summer, she was like, well, let's talk about your sins. And I was like, well, I don't really have any bad ones. She's like, no, really, let's go through the list. And I was like, well, mine are acceptable sins. And so then we started going through the list, and she's like, that's not acceptable. And I was like, you're right. So then I found out I had a whole bunch of bad sins. So I was naive to that. That was the first thing. The second thing is that I was naive to the fact that my kids were going to need healing from my choices. That I'm so blessed. Don't get me wrong. I am so blessed that there are monastic classes. I can't look at my kids also in this room, so I can't make eye contact. I thought I was doing everything right. I thought that we protected them from our relationship that was falling apart. I thought that we kept them in a place where they were surrounded by knowledge about God. And so by doing that, I was really naive to the fact that it wasn't just a broken marriage, it was a broken home. It was
broken kids who still need healing today, just like I do. I mean, it doesn't happen overnight, and it hasn't happened a lot in 7 years. There's a lot. Let me rephrase that, because I am being recorded. So when my husband goes back and listens to this, which we are still married, I should probably mention that. sorry. Fun fact, we did not divorce. He's here too. But I think that with all of that brokenness and that healing, every time we heal one thing or start that process, it unveils something else. And I was just not prepared for how deep hurts are in our kids from even the things that we were naive to and tried to protect them from.
Thank you guys. How did the youth ministry benefit your family directly? Like, what did you appreciate about the youth ministry, or the youth leaders, if you can think of, I don't know, something, anything at all? No.
I think for me, the biggest benefits were realizing I didn't have to do it alone, that there was a partnership there, that there was an understanding as well, that if you know me for more than 5 minutes, you know that I am a little OCD. I also pass that on. And I have this mentality of perfectionism. And so to have people walk along beside us in youth ministry that would be like, you're not okay. Your kid's not okay. And you're not okay. To look inside and to not just encourage, but in some places demand authenticity, and to say, you know, your child is not going to be okay if you don't admit you're not okay. And just really encouraging us to be parents who are honest and open. And, you know, I think that might be another question, but I just having those relationships where they could come to us and say those things, without a doubt, we wouldn't have that if we didn't have the people in our lives discipling our children and teaching us at the same time how to disciple them. Because I can tell you, we went to church. I've never not gone to church since I was a baby, but I didn't know what being a disciple was. And so I think we can talk about church kids and we can talk about unchurched kids, but I can tell you there's probably a third category that is church kids who are not disciples and do not know what that looks like. And so when the natural assumption is when someone comes into the youth ministry and they're like, oh, their parents have gone to church. Oh, they know the things. And I can quote scripture, and I had a flannel board. If you're older than 40, you probably know what that is. That told all the Bible stories and all the characters, but I had no concept whatsoever being a disciple. And so having those youth ministers being so intentional about teaching us how to be disciples while we watch them disciple our children in ways that we couldn't. I mean, I have 3 kids. Well, like I said, one is in here. There were times that the people in youth ministry, and it was 9 times out of 10, that's how many times, they were more of a disciple leader to my children than I could ever possibly even understand to be. And so the fact that they weren't just like, oh, we'll take it from here, but like, okay, no, you need to do this. My cell leaders, Summer, which is one, she's like, okay, now this happened. You need to do this. I saw it. I understood it. And then I was able to practice it because I had people that were telling me, you've never seen this before, so we're not mad at you for not knowing, but you're missing this opportunity, but you need to do this. You need to do this. And they were very, very gentle with us when it needed to be gentle, and they were very difficult and hard on us when it needed to be hard, which is exactly what I needed.
She basically said everything that I wanted to say. Sorry about that.
Pass.
I think the difference is that because I was not someone who went to church prior to this, I knew nothing. I literally did not know scripture. I didn't know anything really. I was learning right alongside my kids. And that was hard because there were times where Kate specifically would be in the studies and was learning things about sin. And she was like, oh, so you mean my mom and her boyfriend are like, they're living all of it, you know? And so those kind of things, those were really hard, but I feel like had I not had youth leaders walking alongside me as a parent, but also just walking alongside my kids and helping them understand that, that was so crucial. And I think, you know, we have to appreciate the youth leaders being put in that situation, because it's hard. It's really hard when you're, I'm sure, as a youth leader dealing with unchurched families, especially in the situation we were in, where I was living with my boyfriend. We had a somewhat blended family. There was just so many weird dynamics to it. And I don't know. I needed the support that they provided at that time, and still do, honestly. I mean, Kate's in campus ministry, and Cole is, you know, just graduated high school, but still those relationships we formed with those youth leaders, I know I can go to them and say, I don't understand this. I don't know how to help them through this. How can I, what do I need to do? And they may not have the answers, because I can tell you, Jenna told me many times, Ezra's really little. Like, I haven't experienced this part of parenting yet, but you know, like Jenna and many of the youth leaders in this room, they may not have parented teenagers, but they have walked alongside teenagers for years. So,
so if you could encourage or give advice to other parents of teenagers in the youth ministry, what is the biggest thing that you would tell them?
I was going to make a funny joke and say, you don't have kids already, don't.
all the teenagers in here are like, it's not funny.
If I could give advice
to the parents, and then we'll give you a chance to talk to the youth leaders.
If I could give advice to the parents, I would say to come at it from the frame of mind that no one is against you and no one is against your children. Like, it is 100%. They wouldn't want to spend their time with people who they don't believe that their soul matters. And there were times I was very rebellious. I'm so a rebellious person. Just to be honest, I got a rebellious heart. But I think that if you look at it from a perspective of, they not only want what's best for my kids, but they want what's best for our family as a unit, I think you'll look at it from a standpoint of, you can disagree. You can say, you can question, I don't understand this. But I would say that whatever you do, have the conversations, like RJ and them mentioned, with the communication. One thing that, you know, when Jenna was leading Brayden, he's my youngest, he graduated, I guess, 2 years ago. I don't know. He's out of high school. Once you have more than two, you can't keep track. I'm just saying, they're gone. But one of the things that, like, Jenna and I kind of did was we provided a united front. So Jenna and I didn't necessarily always have the same opinion on how to deal with Brayden, but we never let Brayden know that. We were very specific on, let's get together, let's come up with what this looks like. And Brayden's going to see that he has two people who've made a decision on how he either needs to behave or how he needs to react to something. And he didn't know after we would pray together and we would talk through it and say, okay, it could go either way. Neither one of these is sinful. Neither one of these is wrong, but this is the path we're taking. And we are united on that. So that way, when Evan had the conversation with him and Jenna had the conversation with him, and then they're like, talk to your mom about it. And I had the conversation. He got it from multiple fronts, and there was no dissension that, like they mentioned, he's going to find an out. He's going to look for an out. He's going to take it. And we just didn't give him that opportunity. Ditto.
I think also, as a parent, the best thing that someone told me, I don't remember now who told me, but early on, somebody told me to have a humble heart with youth leaders, because they actually do know more than me. Like, I can be very prideful, and I think sometimes I think I know what's best for my kids, and I think we all feel that way. But a lot of times I didn't know what was best, and I definitely showed that in, you know, the choices that I made over the years. But I think having a humble heart with the youth leaders and listening to them and hearing what they had to say and, you know, taking their advice. I'll be honest with you. Ashley and RJ have given me some advice in the last couple of years that I didn't really like. I didn't like it at all. In fact, I think I hung up one phone call and I was like, I'm not doing that. They don't know what they're talking about. And you know what? They were right. They were right. And, you know, I hate to say someone's right because I want to be right. But I think being humble is so, so important.
All right. And lastly, if you could encourage or give advice to other youth leaders, to the youth leaders out there, you know, because we do have someone here who are like on plants or, you know, maybe just getting started or just trying to deal with parents in general. Like, what would you tell them when it comes to dealing with parents from your perspective? Maybe what will help them out a little bit?
One of the things that you guys touched on was, you know, having relationships with the families. And I think that is so, so important if you can. If the parents are willing to have a friendship with you and you get to know them and you can help them, you know, when their kids are having a hard time with something and you're able to communicate about that, I think that's really good. The other thing that I think our church, the youth leaders in our church do very well is communication. We're both planners. We like to know what the plan is. Sometimes the plan doesn't go as planned, but I think just our youth ministry as a whole, I'm sure you probably would agree, there's just a level of communication that I really appreciate as a mom who's busy and has a lot on her plate. It's great to know this is what the calendar looks like. This is, you know, what the expectation is. And I really appreciate that about our youth ministry.
I would say I've got a couple things. Point number one, I'm going to do a Robert acronym. I
was going to allow it.
Snacks. We're great snack moms.
You guys are great.
Like, true. Business, and I make
true.
So, but we want to be more than that. As parents, we want you to tell us what you need. More than just snacks. We want to know who you are, what we can do to help support you and your family because you are sacrificing so much for our family. And sometimes that is, I need you to communicate with me who the rando house is I just dropped off my 13-year-old to. And sometimes it's just as basic as that. When we were new here and they'd be like, oh, well, just go to this address. And I'm like, I don't know if I feel comfortable with that. And they'd be like, oh, well, this is this person, which I'm a Facebook stalker. So I will find them on Facebook. I'll find out their entire history. I'll get their driver's license. Absolutely. Yeah, we had mutual friends and that did help. But I mean,
what's wrong with her?
That communication of reassuring parents of what your goal is for them was invaluable for us. I think the other big thing is encouraging us to pray the big, bold prayers. Someone once told me that, this person's in this room, that it's okay to pray the scary prayers, that it's okay to pray that your kids hit the bottom, that it's okay to pray that they won't know what rescue feels like if we never let them see what the bottom looks like. And I think that was probably, in honesty, one of my lowest seasons. The most encouragement I could get from a youth leader was to say, you want them at the bottom. Like, you want them to see how far God will reach down and rescue them in order for them to feel rescued. And it's very, very easy on the church side to not feel rescued, to not know how bad it can get. And so those are very, very scary prayers because no one wants their kids to feel pain. From a youth leader's perspective and anyone in ministry, no one wants someone to feel pain. No one wants our families to hurt in any way, but just having someone say it's okay that you're in that season and it's okay to pray those prayers because the other side of it, there's so many blessings waiting. And I did get to experience those blessings on the other side of those scary prayers. And I still pray those scary, bold prayers. And like I said, just the permission to do that was my biggest blessing. state.
Nice.
And thank you guys so much for sharing. Melanie and Michelle, good job. As I hope that I hope over the past few hours or 4 hours or so that you guys have maybe grabbed something that it will help you in the future. So for those of you guys who are serving in ministry right now, in the youth ministry or even the campus ministry, I mean, keep doing what you're doing. Learn to be even better. Put yourself out there to be humble and learn and vulnerable. Allow God to guide you. Allow God's people to guide you. And for those of you guys who are in the student ministries as the kids, just keep choosing that right, righteous decision one day at a time. Keep pushing forward, and God's got great plans in store for you. I'm going to pray, and we'll be done. And I think right now it is break time until the final lesson at 7, I believe. 5? 5, that's what I said. So, 5 to 7 is what it is. All right, so let's pray. Let's pray. God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your guidance. And thank you for your word. It's great being able to rely on the being who knows the beginning and the middle and the end. And Father, if we can truly, grab a hold of that perception and that faith that trusts in you, great things are in store. God, thank you for the student ministries that you've blessed us to be a part of and serving in and just participating in. God, we love you. And we praise your son's name. Amen. If you guys would, please grab some of that trash along the way and throw that out.